Good morning. If we could please turn to the book of Jonah. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. No. With the Lord's help, I'd like to maybe look at the book of Jonah a few times, Lord willing. It's a short book, so let's read the whole thing, just for context. The book of Jonah, chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us, so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" So he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid, and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you, that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, 'I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The waters surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit. O Lord my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and laid aside his robe, and covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened, when the sun arose, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, It is better for me to die than to live. Then God said to Jonah, Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, It is right for me to be angry, even to death. But the Lord said, You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? The book of Jonah is such an interesting book in the Bible. It's very unique. Most kids don't know, what the book of Obadiah is about, or the book of Amos is about, or any of the other prophets, but a lot of times they know a little bit about the book of Jonah. We have a lot of kids' books right now, and reading the stories about Jonah is kind of, I don't like to read them because a lot of times they leave out chapter 4. That's just sort of the VeggieTale effect, where it's mostly about the fish, where the fish is only really 3 verses in this book. That's not what the story is about, and a lot of times it becomes more about, is God capable of miracles with the fish versus what is this actually telling us? What is this book about? And the book is about mercy. And we don't talk about that. And a lot of times these kid books, they'll talk about chapter 1, 2, and 3, and then it just sort of becomes this cartoonish story. The book of Jonah is not written like any of the other prophetic books. It's really a story about a prophet, not prophetic in terms of prophecy and the word of the Lord coming and explaining prophetic events, things future or things present, and bringing the word of the Lord to the people. But the book of Jonah is written to the people of Israel, and it's written in such a way that Jonah's not the hero of the story. He's kind of the villain. And you read it and you're just, Jonah, you're terrible. Jonah, what? And then it hits you that, it's pointing the finger at me. It's pointing the finger at the people of Israel not having mercy on the nations around. And it turns the tables on you as you're reading it, because you're just, Jonah, what is wrong with you? Like, how are you? He's so erratic. He's so unpredictable. It's just this angry man who doesn't want his enemies to hear the word of the Lord. He doesn't want the people of Nineveh to be saved. The people of Nineveh, there are historical documents and things about what they did to people that they captured, and it's horrible things. They were a very cruel people to the people they conquered. And so it doesn't come as a surprise that he wouldn't want to go there. He wouldn't want to bring God's word of judgment to them just in case they believed. He didn't want them to believe. He didn't want them to repent. He felt they would deserve judgment. The way this book is written, it's There's so many things that were great. The great wind, a great storm, a great fish. It's written in almost a very stylized way. There's sort of a hyperbolic kind of style. Everything is very exceedingly great, or a great wind, a mighty tempest, all these very like strong adjectives, just to really bring home the point. And it's interesting. It's broken up sort of into two acts, both with two scenes. So the act one would be chapters one and two, and you have scene one would be chapter one, scene two would be chapter two, and then sort of the same for act two would be, you know, scene one is chapter three, scene two is chapter four. It's a very interesting narrative style, completely different from every other prophetic book. It's more of a narrative than prophecy. And we start, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And we don't read of Jonah's motivation. We don't read why in verse 3. We don't read initially why he chose to run the opposite way. And that's the biblical narrative is very different than narrative we're used to in our culture. You read a book, you read a novel, it tells you exactly what the person's thinking, exactly what the character's feeling. You're like sort of in their head, and you kind of know, okay, this is the decisions they're making, this is why, and you sort of understand their motivations. In biblical narrative, you really don't get that. You know, the Lord came to Abraham and told him to go and sacrifice his son. You don't read what's going on in his mind. We get later a little bit in, you know, in Hebrews and other places that he was believing in the resurrection. He understood that God made a promise, and it was through this son, and somehow his son had to come back down that mountain with him. But you don't read that in the story. And so there's a lot to sort of fill in and to left for our sort of to narrative to interpret. And I think that's sometimes why it gets a little hard for us to read the Bible, is because it's so different from our culture's way of writing. But there's so much blessing in this book. And there's so much blessing in reading the Word of God. But we have this command from the Lord to go to Nineveh, that great city, to cry out against it. And it just says, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he did not want to go to Nineveh. He clearly is going the opposite direction. He wants to go as far from Nineveh as he can. And so he goes down to Joppa. He finds a boat and he pays the fare. He goes down into it to go with them from the presence of the Lord. And we know that Jonah will say he believes in the God of Israel, the God who made the sea and the dry land. So if he knows that, you can't flee from his presence. There's no fleeing from the presence of the Creator who made everything. It's just not possible. But Jonah still gives it a try. He's willing to try. And so he flees. And verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. And the mariners were afraid. And it's not a good thing if the people who work on the ship are afraid. They're ones who, they know how to sail a ship. They know how to deal with the waves. They know how to deal with the wind. If they're afraid, that's a bad sign. And it's just this passage reminds us of, you sort of see little bits of the book of Acts with Paul. You see a little bit of when the Lord was in the boat, but it's the mariners are afraid. Everyone's crying out to their God. They throw all the cargo overboard to lighten the load. But Jonah, he's down in the bottom of the ship sleeping. Fast asleep, it says. I don't know how. If you're on a boat there's a lot of waves, that thing is moving. I don't know how you could sleep in that. Maybe if it's rocking a little bit, that's sort of gentle and can put you to sleep. But if the wind is bad, that ship is going to go back and forth. It's not something comfortable. It's not something that you would really be able to sleep in. So it's amazing how comfortable Jonah is in this situation. And he never seems like he's afraid. And the captain comes and says, what do you mean by this? How are you sleeping right now? Wake up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we might not perish. And it's so fascinating. It seems like Jonah didn't want to call on his God. He was fleeing from his God. And then the people in the ship, they say, we have to know who's responsible for this. This storm isn't something that's normal. This is something supernatural. We need to know why this is happening to us. And then the lot falls on Jonah, and then they ask him all these questions. Tell us, for whose cause is this trouble? Why is this happening to us? What's your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? Of what people are you? And so they're asking him all these questions. What, why, how, who, explain why this is happening. And so he says, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And then they say to him, why have you done this? Why did you do this to us? And they knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them, why would you do that? If you knew who this God was, why would you run away from him? Why would you do this to us? You didn't affect just yourself. You're affecting everybody else. And so they say, what are we going to do that this storm can end, that the sea can be calm? And it was just getting worse. The sea was growing more tempestuous. And he says, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. And that didn't sit right with them. Jonah's asking for them to kill him, essentially. Jonah's not repentant. This isn't an act of repentance to have me thrown overboard so that God can have mercy on you. He's trying to get away still. It's his last sort of effort to get away from the responsibility the Lord's placed on him. He wants them to throw him overboard so that he can die in the water and they'll be okay. He's still rebellious right now. He still doesn't want to bring a message to the people of Nineveh. And if this is his last chance to get out of it by asking them to do that, and they know what he's trying to do, so they're still going to try. They rowed hard to return to land. They did not want to throw him overboard. But they couldn't. They couldn't resist the sea. It was getting even more tempestuous. It was getting worse. It just continues to get stronger against them, and they cannot row back to land. They're powerless to do it. And then they cry and ask for mercy. They said, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea immediately ceased from its raging. That's a miracle. If nothing else in the book, the sea immediately becoming calm is a miracle. If you go to the islands and there's a tropical storm or, God forbid, a hurricane, you go to the ocean a week later, it's still really rough. It's normally the sea there is super calm. There's barely any waves, but you go a few days after a storm, it's still rough. The waves are still. So every time in Scripture you read of a storm on the water and all of a sudden there's a calm, it's a miracle. It's not normal for that to happen. And so they see this, and the men feared exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. So somehow God is able to work through Jonah's rebellion and disobedience that these men realize who the Lord is. And it was through Jonah didn't care about them. Clearly, he brought this horrible storm on them. He didn't care about his own life, let alone theirs. And yet, somehow, God is able to work and to use this for these men to realize the God of Israel is the true God. He's the one who made the sea and the dry land. And they take vows. They offer a sacrifice. And then we have verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. We see often, too, the Lord prepares things in this book for Jonah. He prepares this fish, he prepares the plant, he prepares a worm, and God is providing for Jonah. God saves Jonah from destruction, and we see the beautiful thing about Jonah, as awful as he is in this book, as terrible as his attitude is, somehow the Lord is able to use this book to talk about his burial, that he would be in the earth for 3 days and 3 nights, like Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. It's the grace of God there. There's really nothing redeemable about Jonah in this book. His attitude is terrible. He wants to see the city destroyed. He doesn't want them to repent and come to God. He would rather die than bring the message to the people of Nineveh. And yet somehow the Lord can use this book to reference his burial and his resurrection. And chapter 2 we'll look at another time, but it's a beautiful, beautiful picture of Christ. And only God can take a man like Jonah, only God can take a story like this, and Christ can come out of it, and we can see the Lord Jesus in it. How gracious is our God? And I think it's just another emphasis about how merciful our God is, how gracious our God is, that every interaction that Jonah has, people are getting, are coming to God through no effort of Jonah. Jonah puts in the minimal effort when it actually, is time. He just goes in, he says one sentence and leaves, and God is able to save a city with that. You see, God is able to have these sailors realize their need for God, the true God. It's all the grace of God. And then even God can take Jonah and he can make him a picture of Christ. And our God is gracious and our God is merciful, and there is no God like him. And you just think that he doesn't get tired of us. Chris had mentioned, all of our sin has been nailed to the cross. It's a tendency when you fall, when you fall or you backslide or you mess up, and you just think, oh man, I'm not worthy. But you turn around, you come back to the Lord, he was right there. He didn't leave. He still loves you. His love doesn't waver. His mercy doesn't waver. And we see Jonah's upset because I knew you would be a merciful God. And Jonah's angry about the mercy of God, but we can rejoice in the mercy of God. How gracious he is. How wonderful our Lord is. He is so good to us when we don't deserve it. And he's able to show his grace in such miraculous ways and marvelous ways. Our God can work wonders to display his mercy. Maybe we can close in prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Bible, how wonderful it is, how vast and how deep it is. There's so much in this book for us. We just thank you for the book of Jonah. We thank you that it shows us your mercy and challenges us to view others with mercy as you would. And our God, we just pray that you would help us to see those around us as you see them, to have the love of God for those around us. Our God and our Father, we just thank you for the book of Jonah and how it can show us a little bit about the Lord Jesus. And we're so thankful that wonderful act of grace and love that you would give him for us. Our God and our Father, we did not deserve any kind of mercy from you, but we're thankful that it's just part of your nature and your character to be merciful and loving. And our God and our Father, we thank you for this. We pray that you would bless us as we go through this week. Just watch over us and keep us. Help us to be able to display the grace of God to those around us. We just ask for grace and help for those at camp. We pray that you would bring them back safely. We pray that you would bless Josh and Bethany. We thank you for the visit. We just pray for their marriage, that you would bless and keep them. We just ask for all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.